On the sixth Sunday of Easter that we are in, there is so much to glean, and the word is spelled G-L-E-A-N, which means to extract from various sources, and so little time for me to share about the readings because it's just rich with so much good stuff. I challenge you today and ask of you today or during the week to go back and look at the readings again and take some time to study and let the Spirit speak to you. The three readings today beautifully intertwine with each other, and especially between the Gospel of John and the book of the Acts of the Apostles. We find the continuing conversation in the Gospel of John that continues at the Last Supper. Father last week shared about how there are a number of chapters there towards the end of John where John writes the conversation or the dialogue, whatever word you want to use, that Jesus has with his disciples just before the Last Supper. And as I think about those conversations and have read over that, I can't help but think if I was sitting there, and I imagine they were, at one moment he talks about he's leaving. And then he comes along and says, "What? But hold on. You know, he says, in my house are many rooms, and where I am, there you may be also. And then he comes along again and starts talking about leaving again. You know, can you imagine the emotions that are going up and down inside of these guys listening to the Lord as he talks? But he comes along again and says, "But hold on. He says, "You know I'm leaving, but I'm going to send back to you." He uses the word advocate, which is interesting. "I'm going to send the Spirit back to you so that you can continue on." And then he tells us about loving him and following his commandments. What a yo-yo ride that must have been for them that day at that Last Supper, listening to all that. I assume little did they realize what was going to follow, though, when that supper ended. Men have taken and built kingdoms for hundreds and thousands of years across this earth. And most of the time, when man comes to take a kingdom or to expand his kingdom, it's usually used through acts of war, through force, through domineering, through captivity. And it's always not such a pleasant thing. But in this case, in the book of Acts, it's the story, or it's a dialogue in the story about how the kingdom of God is spread and begins to spread throughout the earth. We hear Jesus back talking and challenging the disciples. Then as we read the book of Acts, we're seeing as this story unfolds and as the kingdom of God is expanded and broadened throughout the world. And they're doing it with two things: not with force, not with weapons, not through intimidation, not bragging, but two tools, one of the two tools that they have. And the first one is, it happened at Pentecost when God came upon them with the Holy Spirit and gave them the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was so powerful that day, if you read that account, and you'll probably hear it again in a couple of weeks, when we celebrate Pentecost, that if you were in Jerusalem that day and you came from a foreign country, you would have heard the story of what happened in the upper room on Pentecost in your own language, because the people that were in that room were given that gift to be able to share what had happened to them. And the second thing that was in there, that was placed within them, and that all of us have as believers, is the love of God. So they were able to go out and help expand the kingdom of God by using the power of the Holy Spirit, which we hear today in Acts with Philip, who's in Samaria, and great things are happening, so much so they got word of it back in Jerusalem that they sent Peter and John down to help out and begin to lay hands on people to receive the Spirit. Remember, the Jews particularly don't care for the Samaritans. But here's Philip down there with the power of his Spirit, the love of God, spreading the kingdom, and great things are happening down there. That eighth chapter of Acts is an interesting chapter to look at, because as the chapter opens, guess who we start hearing about? We start hearing about Saul, who later becomes Paul, as he's going about persecuting the Christians and had orders to do that. And in the last part, you hear Peter and John come. You know, it's interesting that what got the disciples to move and begin to spread this kingdom was persecution. It was when the persecution came down upon them in Jerusalem that they finally began to move out through Antioch, and they began to move out through Samaria, other most parts of the earth. And thank God that they did. Otherwise, we wouldn't have heard the story. As a side note, like I said, that advancement began not so much because they wanted to, but because persecution came in and they moved out. That same call goes out to each and every one of us today. What is it? To spread the gospel. We have been called to spread the gospel and help expand the kingdom of God wherever our world may be, wherever it might be. It could be at work, it could be in the school, where we live, to those outside the parish. I've said this would be my third time. Even in our marriages, we have been called to spread the kingdom in our marriages. Folks, marriages are not supposed to be battlegrounds. They're never meant to be battlegrounds. And sometimes you listen and you think, my goodness, there's a war going on in that house. But we who are married have been inspired, but God uses marriage as a symbol to spread his kingdom and to spread his love within our marriages, to our children and to those that we come in contact with. I'm sure no one in here has a battleground going on, so we're talking about somebody way out there. So if you want to share it with somebody, it is with the indwelling, living, and moving of the Spirit within our lives that helps to equip each and every one of us as believers to advance the kingdom of God. I'm going to mention just a few of the ways that the Spirit can move within us to help us to advance the kingdom. Number one, he equipped us to be witnesses by reproducing the gift and the fruit of the Holy Spirit within us. You'll find the gift listed in 1 Corinthians. The fruit of the Spirit are listed in Galatians chapter 5. Let me read them to you. This is what's available to you to help you in your walk and in advancing the kingdom. Are you ready? Love, joy, peace. Here comes a tough one. Patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As believers, we have that available to us for those very fruit of the Spirit to move within us to help us to expand the kingdom. Another way that the Holy Spirit can equip us is to help us grow in the knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ and the mystery, glorious mystery of our salvation. Also, the Spirit can provide for us to have that hope in Jesus Christ and equip all of us to take that hope to the entire world. Basically, about every wake service or funeral that I do, you're going to hear me talk about, you know, this isn't the end. This is not, we're not hopeless here today. Because the individual that we're here for today, if they knew Jesus Christ and they did, then we will have the hope of seeing them again. That hope is a part of our repertoire as believers that we have and hang on to. That's why we're different. And since he can provide all of these things I mentioned, plus this hope, with the active assistance, did you hear what I just said? The active assistance of the Spirit working in our lives, we can then be ready to do what the writer of 1 Peter challenges us. Did you hear it? Be ready to give an explanation of the hope that lies within you. Be ready to give an explanation or an answer. Well, whatever word you want to use today, if someone asks you, why do you have hope? What's that hope that lies within you? It is because we've been equipped. We need to be ready. Be ready to give an account, an explanation. We're not to do it, he continues to write, not in a brass and harsh and demeaning or demanding way, but just like the disciples, but with reverence, with gentleness, with the power of the Spirit working within you, and also with the love of God. Be ready. So, what is it about you if someone comes and asks you, what is it about you that you believe and act the way you do and you have this hope? What is it about you that makes you want to follow Jesus Christ?